Hi, I'm Ryan Penny, and welcome to The Catholic Sphere. This week, our diverse Catholic guests tell us how they are evangelizing through story on social media. First, we have with us Catholic content creator and storyteller, Jaden Ramirez. He joins us from Ohio. And up next is the mastermind behind Gaby After Hours on YouTube, Gabriel Castillo. He is with us from Texas. And last, but certainly not least, we have actor, author, and Catholic evangelist, Tanner Colina. Tanner joins us today from Colorado. Tanner, let's start with you. Why did you want to act and be a comedian as a kid? And how has that led to where you are now as a storyteller through social media, podcast, film, and now a new book?
Hey, nice copy there. Oh man. Well, yeah, I when I was 5 years old, I fell in love with Jim Carrey, and I wrote him a letter saying how I watched all of his movies and I was a big fan. And a few months later, after I sent that letter, I got a signed headshot back in the mail, and it said, "Thank you very much, Jim Carrey," just kind of classic Jim Carrey-ism, if you will. And I told my mom in that moment that I wanted to be a comedian and that I wanted to go to Hollywood one day and be an actor, and she supported that. You know, praise God, I had a mom who really supported my dreaming big, and so she allowed me to audition for my local theater, and from there I started booking roles and just fell in love with storytelling. And in college, this kind of love resurfaced. I started studying film at the University of Texas at Austin, and I got involved in the comedy scene in Austin. And through just door after door kind of opening for me, I started a sketch comedy show. I became captain of the improv troupe. I started auditioning for films around town. The Lord just kind of opened up a lot of doors for me to be able to pursue that. And when I was out in Hollywood, I fell in love with the greatest story of all time. I was searching for like a good story that could impact our culture. And the gospel was presented to me in new ways. And my eyes really opened for the first time, for the first genuine time. I'd always heard the gospel, but the story of the gospel really penetrated my heart. And now it's my dream to just share the gospel in any way possible. And I think the most effective way to do that is through storytelling, because that's the story, or that's the model our Lord did. You know, he told truths, he preached the kingdom through story, through parable. And so I think story just has a great way of capturing the imagination, much better than anything else can. You know, you can lead a deer to running water, but you can't make them drink. You can lead someone to the foot of the cross, but you can't make them embrace that cross unless you make them imagine that it's good for them. So unlocking the imagination through storytelling, leading people into the gospel, and that's what I'm all about now.
Amen. Well, God can certainly use anything to draw us to the mission that he's calling us to, and sometimes that can be a signed photograph of Jim Carrey. And now you're where you're supposed to be. And Jaden, you too, your level of commitment to storytelling led you to quit your job. So how did you discern such a monumental decision?
Well, I'll start off by saying I did not know that quitting your job is actually like a pretty common thing. So I just like realized that when you are following and pursuing the Lord, and you make a commitment to make him the Lord of your life, everything is his. And that's your family, that's your relationships, and that could be your job. And I think one of the biggest things that led me to discern like leaving my job to pursue content creation and, you know, this Catholic storytelling full time really was just going in front of Jesus in the Eucharist in adoration, and just asking him, like, God, these are the desires and dreams of my heart that I have. What do you want with them? Like, if you don't want them, please throw them away. Like, I don't want these desires. I don't want these dreams, God, if they're not your desires, if they're not your dreams. And ultimately, I kept on asking God that question, and sooner or later, God had to reply. And after a lot of discernment with my wife and what I believe, that God was leading me to, I just made the jump and said, hey, like, God is worth everything. And I don't want to be, you know, 60, 70, 80 years old saying, you know, if I just did that while I was 23, if I just did that, I wonder what my life would be. And I think I'm just so happy that I did what I did. And I know that God is with me and he's blessing me as I made that leap of faith.
As you made that leap of faith. And I love how you mentioned that you didn't make that leap of faith by yourself, but you brought your wife into that whole discernment process with you. And how beautiful that is to start off with your primary vocation and allowing the Lord to lead that to your particular mission now of being a storyteller to great effect. Thanks be to God. And so, Gabriel, the way you've gotten here, you started out as a youth minister. How did you make your way to YouTube?
So I really started out as a religion teacher in middle school. And all of my kids, not all of them, but a lot of them were getting in trouble for the things that they were watching at home. And I was like, well, maybe you need something that is holy that you can use to kind of like substitute for bad media. And you can use that to sanctify your devices. And so I began by stealing content from EWTN. This is like in 2008. I would take the best talks, the best homilies, and I would put images to them and then upload them to the internet. After I switched jobs and I became adult faith formation at a parish, my students were reaching out to me saying, hey, we wish that you were still our teacher. Can you make content for us that we can watch and share with our friends? And that's kind of where I jumped into making my own stuff. And I really wished when I was a teacher that there was specific type of content, content on the rosary, content on adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, lives of the saints. So in my own poor way, when I first started out, I tried to do that to the best of my ability to fill the need in the lives of my former students. And then the internet's big and other people started to watch the content and use it for their own educational purposes. And the Lord has just continued to bless it.
Yeah, I love how you said that you were taking the approach of what content can I make that will sanctify the devices that they're using, as opposed to taking the approach right. of just throw the devices away. You were sanctifying them.
Yeah, so when I found that when a young person begins to put Catholic content in their Instagram, in their YouTube, in their various other social media platforms, I've noticed, because I work with high school kids every single week, that that high school student begins to live a totally different life. When they begin to consume things that direct their minds and their hearts to God, that's kind of how I know that this kid is going to be all right.
Right. As St. Paul exhorts us in Philippians to think about what is true, what is good, what is noble, what is worthy of praise, and for us to use the means that we have at our disposal to do so, and even in movies and films. So Tanner, talking about that, here's a question for you. Is it possible for Christian media or media imbued with Christian values to compete with Hollywood for the hearts and attention and dollars of everyone?
Yes, absolutely. I think it already is. And I want to answer this with like an encouragement to my fellow artists out there, as well as a challenge to the church in general. I think it's absolutely to compete with Hollywood, as long as we don't divorce truth from beauty. You know, truth has to be presented beautifully, and beauty has to be presented with truth. I think that when you look at the cultural war, I think that Hollywood has been outpacing us. They do things with excellence, with quality, with beauty. And sometimes those messages are imbued with, I mean, quite frankly, anti-Christian values, but they're presented beautifully, and so they have a tug on the heart. And oftentimes, on the other hand, we as Catholics have you know, presented truth, the fullness of truth, but not really in a beautiful way. And when you present truth in a not beautiful way, and you present lies in a beautiful way, I think the human heart will still gravitate towards beauty. And so artists like really need to make sure that the things that we're creating, whether it's a book, whether it's a film, whether it's a TV show, whether it's just a little video, we have to be presenting that with the fullness of truth and the great both and of our faith with beauty, because truth without beauty is just difficult to swallow, and beauty without truth is scandalous. And so I would present that to artists out there, and then to the church. You know, the church has always been the biggest patron of the arts. Is the church willing to pay to play, you know? Because Hollywood has, they'll dump money and money and money endlessly into films. Are we willing to pay to get that quality, to get that excellence, to get that story, the most beauty that it can possibly capture? And so I would encourage the church to go back to her roots and be a patron of the arts again, because when you look at the decline of our culture, I think that you can see a decline in Catholic art and a rise in secular art. I wish I had a study in front of me, but I bet if you were to overlay those, they would be, you know, pretty apparent. And so, yes, artists, do your thing. Church, help artists out. Come on.
Amen. Yes, amen. So the responsibility is not just on the content creators, but also on all of us laity to speak with our money and to invest in the right things, because there are plenty of Catholic content creators today, including here at EWTN with our goals for the future. We're trying to create this true, good, and beautiful art that has the ability to tug on the heartstrings and lead people to Christ. So we just have to put him on, we just have to put our money where our mouth is. And Jaden, that's what you're doing in your own unique way with your online evangelization. You're not somebody who just talks into the camera and explicitly teaches the faith. You take a totally different approach as a storyteller. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I think recently, I think the digital landscape is changing for the newer generation and the new generation, Gen Z. I think a lot of the people in my generation are very visually appealed. Like they just see, if they can see it, they can think it. So I think on social media, that's exactly what I do. If I can kind of envision and picture a story that can describe, you know, with Catholic characteristics, like what I'm trying to convey, I think that is the newest way that I see the digital landscape evolving, because I think people don't oftentimes want to just be taught something or have someone talk to them, whereas they kind of want to be in the story and kind of wait to know what's next. I think it's so easy for someone to watch a movie, because a good movie, because of how the story keeps them asking for more or waiting for more. And so in the way that I'm trying to do things, is kind of like this idea of based off of a true story. Obviously, I have to film myself and I have to film the things that I'm doing. But it's how I piece those things together in how I can make a fuller, completer story that still has that spin off of from the secular world, of like high quality and something that is really well done. But at the core of it, it's just Jesus. Like at the core of like what someone is receiving, hopefully they're receiving Jesus. And I think how I try to depict things is show and don't tell.
Right. So Jaden, let's take the one where you're at a movie in the park with your wife. What was the message that you were trying to convey in that?
So I am, I'm a first time dad. So I have a baby on the way this December. And I think that there's really not that many, you know, 23-year-old dads that exist. There could be. All I know is that out of like a lot of my friends, is like this is like what I'm doing. Whereas some of them are in grad school, some of them are hopping into their career, some of them are, you know, still figuring things out. What I wanted to paint the perspective in that video is me just like writing to my future son. And in that way, kind of giving the viewer a deeper insight of like, why is this guy getting married early on? Why is this guy having a family early on? Why would this guy that left his job, like, be pursuing content creation for the Catholic Church full time? And it was like through that video that I believe really got a lot of people thinking or wondering, why go all in on something that God is asking you to do, even if it's something out of the ordinary? And I guess it was something in that video that I really just wanted to tell the audience that if I'm going to be a dad, I want my son to know that following the Lord is over everything. It's over the things that you feel like you're supposed to do, that the things that the world is telling you. But like following the Lord, even if your dad is afraid of like where God is leading you, like you have a heavenly Father that's going to be leading you. In that voice matters over all of the others. So I think that video specifically was a video where I was trying to depict a father talking to his son visually.
Wow, that's very powerful. Not just talking to your son, but sending a message through a beautiful video about this great truth of life, that ultimately it's about following God's will, and which allows us to more fully enjoy the beautiful moments of life, like going on a date with your wife. So capturing those beautiful moments in the context of a story. Gabriel, you're about storytelling as well. Given the theme of this show, this might seem like an overly simplistic question, but it's not. Among all of the videos on your YouTube channel, why are your testimony and conversion videos some of your most popular?
So our previous speaker, Jaden, really hit the nail on the head that a lot of times people don't want to be lectured to. And so my heart is teaching Marian devotion and devotion to the sacraments, but that's not necessarily why people sign on to social media. And so I make content that will hook the individual into watching it by introducing to them a story. Humans are wired for stories. We always have been. And the best stories, the best storyteller are stories that God has his hand in. And so I pick people from testimonials that are no different from anybody who's watching the video. And so that makes it very relatable to the person who's watching. And the way I set up my testimonials is also very important. One day I was watching a very popular podcaster, and I had already known the story of the individual who was being interviewed. So I knew the twists and turns in the story, but the interviewer kept interrupting, asking questions that he was interested in, but I knew that that question that he was asking was actually ruining this great story that this person was going to tell. And so I thought to myself, how can I take the best parts of a podcast and make them more emotional and be able to add music to that and cinematic B-roll to really highlight a person's message and cut it down to a more reasonable span? So the first thing that I did was I changed the perspective. A person can be having a conversation and that's great and I can listen in and that's wonderful, but it's much more powerful if they're breaking the fourth wall. So what I would do in my testimonial interviews is I will set a camera like a couple of feet beneath my chin, and I would use a 35 millimeter lens because that's about the perspective of the human eye. And it's not natural to speak into a camera, to try and get natural emotions from a person who's telling a story and they're not used to being in front of a camera. It's very difficult to do. So by engaging them in conversation and they can look into my eyes and I can look into their eyes, and having this wide-ish camera angle lens to the audience, it feels like they're really opening their soul and getting a peek into like this in-depth story. One of the testimonials I did, which is very famous, is the Jordan and Tammy Peterson testimony. And the emotions and the frustration that we caught in Jordan Peterson talking about how his wife only had 10 months to live only came out because he felt very comfortable speaking to me. And we have camera off-axis angles so that when the speaker makes a mistake or coughs or says or we cut to that angle and the illusion of an in-depth conversation that's flowing out of the heart is not lost. So everybody has a story. Humans are wired for stories. The goal as a storyteller is to get out of the way, and as editors, to not notice the editing. Even in the music selections that we make, I tell myself and my assistant who helps me edit, I say, I don't want to hear the music. I want to feel the music. So we have three elements that we can use when we're making testimonials. We can use the soundtrack, we can use the storyteller and their voice and their emotion, and we can use B-roll. So right now, it's a beautiful time to get into social media. The technology available to us is at an all-time low price, and it's just, your imagination is truly the limit at this point.
What I love about this is that all of your production decisions were made in order to serve the telling of the story.
Yeah.
What serves the story and setting everything up in a way that helps to connect with human emotion, which is the way that people receive stories, receive the truth. And speaking about these different creative ways of doing this, here at EWTN, Tanner, we released James the Less within the last couple of years, which was a smash hit. Why do you think it was such a smash hit?
Man, you know, on one level, I have no idea. You never know what works when you're creating something. I think, Gabriel, you might have said it, that like some of your favorite things that you make are the things that just no one else likes. And sometimes the thing that you don't think twice about is like the thing that explodes. You just never know. Because there's so many different variables that go into why something is seen, why people respond, et cetera. So on one hand, I have no clue. On another hand, it's novel. You know, like I think it's fun. It's good. It's unapologetically Catholic. Right now, our culture is getting, you know, slammed with the same message. I kind of want to build off Gabriel's point real quick, if I can go on a quick little tangent. C.S. Lewis, the great 20th century Christian apologist, once said, how monotonously alike all the great tyrants and conquerors have been, how gloriously different are the saints. I studied screenwriting, and so I've studied kind of like Hollywood's newest fad. I don't know if you guys have caught on, but Hollywood's newest fad is rock star biopics. In recent years, we've made films about Johnny Cash, Bob Marley, Amy Winehouse, Elvis. Billy Joel, Elvis, Queen, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. And it's the same narrative arc. It's the same story. You have a promising young talent who goes through some sort of trial, usually a self-inflicted one. And it's a tragic ending masked at the end as a beautiful ending. And it's the same narrative beats. You could substitute Elvis's story with Amy Winehouse's. And I mean no disrespect to these individuals. I love Elvis. I jam out to Amy Winehouse sometimes if she were to cross my Spotify list, you know. But it's the same story. You could substitute them and have the same story. You can't do that with St. Catherine of Siena and Blessed Carla Cutis or St. Thomas More. You just can't. The stories that God is a part of are just authentically unique. And so I think James the Less kind of captured a little bit of that. It captured a little bit of this man who is of the world stumbling into the depths of our faith. And there's endless depths there, so there's endless kind of moments of intrigue for the audience. And so, yeah, to kind of sum up this long-winded answer, forgive me. On one hand, I have no clue. On two, it taps into something that speaks to the depths of who we are. So,
yes, on the one hand, we have no idea. On the other hand, it's a romantic comedy, and people and people love that. So, and one of the ways that we know that it was a hit is the fact that they were demanding for more, and we are giving them more. So, Tanner, we just wrapped up shooting seasons 2 and 3 a couple of weeks ago. What can people expect from seasons 2 and 3 coming out early next year?
God, the team did a great job. Shout out to my fellow castmates, FJ, who plays Father Burns, and Carol, who plays Anne-Marie. They did a great job. Hopefully I can live up to what they did. And Steve and Beaumont, our director, just did a great job, brought a great script to life. I think what the audience, you know, the audience was left with a big cliffhanger. In season 1, I think some of their questions will be answered. With season 2 and season 3, you'll get to see more into the kind of stories of these characters. And there's just a lot of the fun kind of Catholic gags that we play around with as well. So there's a lot to look forward to. It captures the same tone and these characters that we've come to love. You get to see even more of who they are.
Can't wait for it. So, Jaden, switching gears back again to social media and what you're doing there, let's talk about the impact. What kind of a reaction are you seeing from your followers there on social media?
I think that people want to invest in things that do not exist. And I think that's specifically like a huge Catholic Church thing. I think young adults and most people on social media want to see more Catholic things. They want to see high quality things. They want to see young people making a big splash on the internet. So I get like the reactions are basically like very hopeful. Obviously you have the people on the internet that are very against the movements of God, and those things just tell me that I'm walking in the right direction, because I really try to base a lot of my work in like what I'm doing off of scripture. And you know, Jesus is sending me. He's sending me out like a sheep amongst wolves. And, you know, I'm going to be walking in the valley. And I just have to trust that God's with me. And a lot of my stuff sometimes have a negative reaction, because I post a lot of cinematic shots of the Eucharist and just a lot of very storytelling shots with Mary. Mary's a big one. But a lot of the reactions are very hopeful, that God is doing something with the next generation, that God is, that the Catholic Church is not abandoning social media. The Catholic Church is not abandoning the digital landscape, the digital continent that everyone is on. And that gives me great joy and great hope, knowing that there are people that want to see this.
And with that word of hope, God is definitely up to something with this next generation, of which all three of you are tremendous representatives. Thank you all for being with us today, Jaden, Gabriel, and Tanner. And thank you for joining us on the Catholic Sphere. Don't forget to join us next week with host Father Joseph Mary Wolf, right here on the Catholic Sphere.